the Word tonight, so let's do that. How many brought your Bible? Okay, good, good. I'm glad to see it. Now, are we dismissing for studio? Did they already go? They already went. Okay, so we're cool. I don't want to not, you know, forget to do that. So I want to go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 tonight. And this is a great discourse. If you've ever read the first couple of verses of the book of Acts, there's a guy there by the name of Theophilus. I mean, that's a different name, isn't it? And Luke is actually writing to him and giving him this account about some of the early happenings around Jesus. And he says in verse 3, speaking of Jesus, he said, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I love that verse because it tells us how Jesus wants to show himself in this generation. He wants to show himself alive, not dead, not the pre-crucified Christ, but the post-crucified Christ, right? He wants to show himself alive. Did you ever notice what religion wants to do? They want to show him pre-resurrection, not post-resurrection. They want to show him on a cross, still suffering. Thank God he suffered for our sins, but man, he's alive. Amen? He's alive. That's why Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 is so important for you and me, because the Bible tells us there, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, watch this. He said, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You and I have the right to claim life. Life, Zoe, life the way God has it. He said, if the Spirit of God resides in you, then you also can expect the same kind of life, which is exciting. It turns your life around. And we've got to resist this cloud, this heaviness that comes on us often, sometimes through circumstances, right? Sometimes from what people say, sometimes our money account, all those kind of things. Listen, we got to get our eyes off of those things and recognize that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it's going to quicken or make alive your mortal body. So we have to start learning how to talk to one another with life words, because that's who we are. We're people of life. We're people in the good life. We're enjoying the good life. It's the God life that God has given to us. And so we walk in that every day. See, not only did Jesus present himself alive to all of those after his resurrection as an infallible proof, but because he did, he expects us to do it. So we present Christ the same way. So don't walk around, you know, in the Molly Grubs. How you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. Under the circumstances, you know, life is tough and you know the economy and everything. Wait a minute. Are you a Christian? I mean, are you a real deal believer? If you are, hallelujah, there ought to be some life coming out of your life, right? You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians 2 and 20 that it's no longer us that lives anyway. It's Christ that lives in us. And the hope that we have is to have the life that God has. He gave Jesus, we have that same life. So if I'm walking around in the Molly Grubs being attached to the circumstances of this world, maybe I'm still trying to live my old life. And so I've got to detach from that. And I've got to start smiling more. I've got to start releasing the life of God. Why? Look at John 14 and 12. Jesus said an incredible scripture, and this scripture always messes with me. Does it ever mess with you? It should. If it doesn't, it will after you read it. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, how many believe in him tonight? Okay, qualified. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Uh-oh, we're on that same level of life that Jesus demonstrated. Then he said this, and greater works. Everybody say greater works. Greater, those that exceed what he did. Whatever he did, you're going to exceed that. Greater works. Why? Because I go to my Father. Because he went to the Father and it was finished. And he released, tag team with the Holy Spirit. You and I now, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it's quickening me. It's like I put my finger in an outlet. I'm being quickened. I'm being made alive. And the devil wants us to stay dead. We had to go to a live church. Isn't that the church in Maui, Jesus is Alive Church? I like that name. Isn't that a great name for a church? Jesus is Alive Church. Amen. So we're talking about the life of God being demonstrated. And really, it's our call in this hour to present Jesus alive. We can't present him any other way. We can't present denominationalism or religion. We can't present him through our own opinions. We've got to present him alive. Amen. He who is dead now is alive. And he has ascended into heaven. Sat down at the right hand of the Father. Wow, think about that. He said, all authority has been given unto me. And now I've given it to you. Hoo-hoo, man, I'm telling you. You talk about a Friday night. That's exciting. You can go out and just tear up some devils, you know. Go over some other Christian's house and just release life into one another. Lap it up, live it up, have a great time. I believe we ought to be having fun times all the time. We ought to be the life of the party. Wherever there's a party, they want to invite us. Why? Because we're alive. You always want somebody that's alive to come to your party. You hate deadheads. Right? I don't want to be a deadhead Christian. I don't want to be a deadhead church member. Okay, we're going to have a section for all the deadheads. Ushers, on Sunday, put all the deadheads far right and left so they won't hurt anybody. You know, they can just all sit together. But as for us, we're just going to have life and we're going to enjoy it. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm alive in Jesus tonight. I'm alive in Jesus. Now, see, some of you may be saying, well, that sounds great in theory, Pastor, but you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through some stuff. I got stuff going on. Okay, Jesus specifically at least 9 times appeared to people who were going through stuff. But he appeared to them alive. Because the stuff they were going through was trying to kill them. Have you ever gone through something and you thought, man, this thing is trying to kill me? I mean, maybe you haven't felt that way, but I have. I felt like something that I've gone through is trying to choke the very life out of me. I thought, man, if I don't get out from under this thing, it's about to crush me. Remember Thalipsis? That whole Greek teaching that we did on the load upon our lives and it's trying to crush us. It's that heaviness that the enemy will try to put on us. So we have to understand that, wait a minute, no. We don't live under that. We can believe that the Jesus that we serve is alive and he wants to appear to us in these circumstances. Let me give you a couple of them. Can I do that tonight? Just take a couple of notes and I think this will help you. Look at Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. And when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 demons. He appeared first to who? Mary Magdalene. What was her issue? There were 7 demons trying to kill her. I mean, they weren't just possessing her like a pet dog. They were trying to kill her. And we know the story because it's listed for us in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 2. When Jesus first met this Mary, and it tells us that afterwards he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and the certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Jesus comes bringing glad tidings. And so anybody that's in torment, he wants to make himself alive to that person. And you may be tormented tonight by a number of things. It doesn't really matter what it is. Sometimes it's addictions. Sometimes it's the way people treat you. You're tormented by that. Sometimes you're tormented by the response of other people. And sometimes you get involved in it. You know, you become an enabler. You're trying to cover up for everybody else's faults. You're a peacemaker. You're always trying to make peace in the house. You know, that can be tormenting. That could be a horrible thing to have to live under. But I want you to know tonight that if you're in any kind of torment, Jesus, just like he appeared to Mary Magdalene, he wants to come to you. He wants to make himself known to you. He wants to present himself alive to you. And what does he have with him? Glad tidings. He has good news. And what's good news to a person that's tormented? You know what it is? You don't have to be tormented anymore. Why? Because Jesus has come to your life. So if you're tormented tonight, why don't you with me right now, everybody, lift up your hands and say with me, Jesus, I invite you to come into my life, to come into my situation and take care of all this torment because I can't do it. I need you to do it. I need your glad tidings. And you could take my pain in Jesus' name. Amen. See, He will come to those who are tormented. So I want you to think with me the next time the enemy comes to you with some kind of a torment, mental anguish, maybe an emotional anguish. Next time he comes to you with some financial stress or pressure, I want you to think, okay, wait a minute. Now, this is torment. So wait a minute. I've got something for torment. I've got a Jesus Christ that's alive. And he presents himself alive to those that are in torment. If he did it for Mary Magdalene, and if he did it for the other women that were with her, because the scripture tells us in Luke 8, and the other women who also were tormented and had infirmities, then why wouldn't he do it for me? And then you just have to cry out. Say, Jesus, you just get on your knees, you get on your face, you do whatever you have to do. Say, Jesus, you need to come to this old boy now because I'm being tormented. I believe that he'll come. I believe that Jesus wants to present himself alive to us. And you know the beauty of that is that when you get that freedom, when you begin to experience that life, you can now take it to somebody else. When someone is around you at work and they begin talking about their torment, they talk about their pain or their circumstance, you could say, I got to tell you something. I don't know about your circumstance, sweetheart, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but I'm going to tell you what happened for me. I was once tormented. I was once like a Mary Magdalene. I was once that carried around all these demons in my life. But one day, I met Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he set me free and he gave me life. You too can have that life. See, that's really the call upon our church tonight, is to go out and seek those that are tormented and tell them they can experience life and not death. Look at the next one. Number two. How many of you have ever been pessimistic in life? Nobody. Okay, well, I'll just preach to me. You know, you always see the glass half empty. You know, you just feel pessimistic. Oh, things aren't going to work out. And, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me again. And out of all the people on this street, look at our house. We're the one that got crashed by lightning. I mean, it happens every time. You know, just pessimistic. Well, there's pessimism in the Bible. Did you know that? Look at it with me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. And I don't know if I'll read all the scriptures, but this is wild. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, came to see the tomb. Now what were they going to see? The tomb. They weren't going to see Jesus being made alive. They were going to see Jesus dead. They had made preparation. They said, look, sweetheart, I'm going to set my clock for 5 a.m. I'll get you up. Make sure you're up. If I don't call, you call me, okay? Meet you over there by the palm tree. We'll get on over to the tomb and dress the body of Jesus. And, you know, we'll just be on our merry way. All right. I can't believe he's dead. I can't either, sweetheart. I can't either. But all right, see you in the morning. Pessimistic. They were totally negative. So the Bible said they got up in the morning and off they went to go see the tomb. And there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here. He is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. See, this is vital. You and I have to recognize that even after we're born again, death will try to hold on to you. Death will try to put its tentacles in your thinking, in your soulical parts. It will try to hold on, even though you know you're going to heaven. But you're starting to see all the negative in life. You're starting to see all the death in life. And this is a season when you need to have the Christ that is alive make his appearance. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell the brethren. Go tell them that I'm alive. The one that was dead is now alive. They came to see the tomb, living life, only to see loss, only to see death, only to see negative. Sometimes people like that, the only thing that'll fix them is if they have a shaking in their life. And I pray for that. I said, God, give me a shaking. Shake me, Lord, from this pessimistic attitude, this negative attitude, always seeing everything on the negative side. Shake it, Lord. And I believe God is sending a shaking to the church. And we ought to invite the shaking to come. And when that earthquake came, the tomb opened up and Jesus came out alive. So whatever has been negative to you, I pray that it will be turned around tonight. I can believe that with you. Why don't you with me lift your hands up? Say, Jesus, I need you to come now. I need you to shake my life. I need you to shake things up. Oh, you're not saying it, church. You're just repeating it. Come on. I need you to shake things up, Lord. And I want you to touch every negative aspect of my life. I'm alive because you're alive. Now give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, get on your feet and give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a standing ovation. Come on, give Jesus a standing ovation. Yeah, you are awesome, God. You are alive. Hallelujah. Now, before you're seated, look at somebody and say, I believe my glass is half full. All right, come on. It's half full. You know, as you're seated, I got to remind you of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The prophet Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. That's what he said, didn't he? What does it say? Isaiah 6, 1, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There's got to be a death to pessimism. There's got to be a death to negativism. You've got to die to it. And when you do, what happens? You begin to see the Lord, and you see Him high, and you see Him lifted up, and a train of His robe filling the temple. How could you ever be negative again after you've seen that? It's time for us to get a clear vision of Christ on His throne. Hallelujah. Lord, regardless of what they report on the news channels, regardless of what the financiers are projecting for our future, you're sitting on the throne. It doesn't matter what Iran is planning. It doesn't matter what they say about this nation or that. You're sitting on the throne. My children may be doing this or that. My husband acting all crazy. My wife getting a little negative. It doesn't matter. No, you're sitting on the throne. Come on, say that with me. You're sitting on the throne. You've got to get that in your language, in your conversation every day. But what about those who are not necessarily pessimistic or maybe even tormented? How about some of us who have messed up in our past? Is there anybody here that relates to that? Okay, a few of us? All right. To those that have denied Him, to those that have kind of forgotten the path, got off of the straight and narrow, and we're embarrassed by it. Sometimes, you know, it's so embarrassing, it's hard to get back. Because as soon as you get back, the devil starts talking. He says, no, you don't deserve to be there. You're such a terrible Christian. You're such a bad person. You don't deserve. God doesn't even want to look at you. He doesn't even want to meet your glance. He doesn't want to look into your eyes anymore. You know, that's a lie from the devil. Because even when Peter, on the third time that he denied Him, and the cock crowed, you know what the Bible says? Jesus looked over at Peter, and Peter looked over at Jesus, and even in the moment of his denial, they locked eyes. They saw one another, and Jesus' glance was not a condemning glance, but it was, I'm coming for you, Peter glance. I'm not going to leave you where you put yourself glance. I am not done with you yet glance. I love you more than anything because I know you love me glance. You know the beauty about this whole story, that after Jesus was resurrected, He said, y'all, you know what? I'm alive. Go tell Peter. Go tell Peter that I'm alive. Go tell that guy that, you know, did what he did. Go tell him that I'm thinking about him. And I want you to know God is thinking about you tonight. Come on, look over at somebody and say, he's got you on his mind. Come on, God is thinking about you. Lock eyes with him. Don't you put your eyes down. Don't you look down to the ground. You look up into his most wonderful, precious, redeeming eyes. Because the resurrected Christ transcends our past. He transcends any contradiction that we have ever committed. I'm so thankful for that. So I don't have to feel guilty tonight. Boy, this is guilt-free Christianity. Whew, that's the best kind. Well, that's the only kind. Come on, right? We don't want to make people feel guilty. No, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Come on, throw your hands up. Say, Jesus. There have been times in my life when I was like Peter. And Lord, I want to look into your eyes. And I know you want to look into my eyes. And I receive you now as the resurrected Christ who still loves me, who has a plan for me. And I thank you that you have forgiven me. Now I forgive myself in Jesus' name. That's a good place to give him some more praise. Come on, you got to forgive yourself. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. But God does. So forgive yourself. Well, maybe if you haven't been a pessimist or tormented, or maybe you haven't denied him. But Jesus made himself alive to those who were thinking about doing something. Actually, it's the unthinkable thing, Lowell. It's the thing that too many Christians today think first about. And that's quitting. Have you ever thought about quitting? Not your marriage. Not necessarily your job. I'm talking about God. I'm just going to quit God, church, Jesus, everything. This is stupid. I've never thought about that, Pastor. At least I won't admit that I did. There were two men. It was just after the crucifixion of Christ. They were on a road that was going to lead them to a town called Emmaus. You may know the story. It's in chapter 24 of Luke in verses 25 through 31. This is what happened. Jesus appeared to them and he said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter to his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. You see, they got their eyes on everything else. Hear me now. Christians often get their eyes on people. We get our eyes on others. We get our eyes on what's not working. We get our eyes on things that haven't come to pass yet. And we forget to get our eyes on everything God has done for us. And get our eyes on everybody that do like us and do love us. And get our eyes on all the blessings that God has given unto our lives. They got their eyes on everything else, so much so that they didn't even recognize Jesus. Did you know your focus can be so consumed on your current search situation that you won't even see him if he showed up in church? You could be in church and still not see Jesus. No, not until you get intimate with him. You break bread and you pour the cup. At that point, bam, their eyes were opened. And then he vanished. And the reason why he vanished from them in the natural is because once you see him in your spirit, it doesn't take anything else. I don't need to look at anybody else. I don't need to have any other manifestation. You see, I've went to the cross. I've been to the presence of God. And I've seen him. And his image burns within my heart. And I know that my God is able. I know that Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me because He's alive. And I got to keep my focus on what I know is true. We're looking at mirages today. We're looking at false images today. We're looking at the smoke and the mirrors of this generation. No, we got to get our eyes back on Him. Amen? So lift your hands up with me. Say, Jesus, I'm going to turn my eyes upon You. Away from the world. I want to see Jesus. And when I see You, I will walk with You. I will talk with You. Because You're alive. I too am alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes some of us get up in the morning for no apparent reason. And we're full of fear. What if? What if? What if the dog runs away? Not a bad idea. No. What if my car breaks down? What if? What if my kids get on drugs? What if we get an accident today? What if this happens? And we start walking in fear. You know, Jesus understands that fear is real. He understands that many of us have dealt with fear. And the disciples were dealing with fear. Think about it. They thought they were going to overthrow the Roman Empire. Jesus was going to be their natural established king. Peter and those guys were zealots, many of them. They were very, very aggressive in wanting to overthrow the tyranny of Rome. And now Jesus is dead. Their only hope, their only reason for believing and having any kind of a positive attitude, now it's gone. And the scripture tells us they were locked up in a room. Full of fear. I don't know what has happened in your life that you didn't expect. Or you thought that God should be doing by now, and He didn't. Maybe it's your body physically, and you think, you know what? By stripes I'm healed, but guess what? I'm still sick. Maybe I'm going to die from this sickness. Maybe by now you thought, you know, my marriage should be better, but you know what? It's gotten worse. I'm fearful I'm going to end up a lone person. I'm going to be living alone on the top of somebody's garage in a one-bedroom apartment all by myself. I'm fearful of that. I'm fearful of dying alone. I'm fearful of my family never coming to visit me. I'm fearful of going into a nursing home. Don't put me in one of those. You better never put me in one of those, you say. You know, fears can be anything. And this is where the disciples were. They were full of fear. Look at the scripture with me in John 20. John 20 in verse 19 and 20. The Bible tells us in John 20, verse 19 and 20. Then at the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now think about it. This is the first day of the week. What happened on the first day of the week? What happened on the first day of the week? Jesus arose. He's alive. Okay. I mean, can you see it? Coming down the streets of Jerusalem, a marching band. Jesus was dead, but now He's alive. I mean, Jesus is alive on the first day of the week. But how can some people be so excited about Him being alive? And the others on the same day being shut up and full of fear. There's so much fear in the church. There's so much fear in our lives. Fear over all kinds of things. It's beginning to rule us. And I love what Jesus did. And He wants to do that for you tonight. He wants to do that for your marriage, for your children, over your finances, over your future. Look what He did. Jesus came and stood in the midst. I like that. You say, stood in the midst of what? I think He stood right in the midst of their fears. Stood right in the midst of the deficit. Stood right in the midst of the doctor's report. stood right in the midst of the marriage that's troubled, stood right in the midst of the rebellious teenager, stood right there and said, peace, be still. He said, peace be with you. Because he knew right now that only fear was with him. We have to break that relationship here. So he said, peace be with you. You know, oftentimes I'll do weddings. I'm going to be doing a couple of them coming up here shortly. And you know what's interesting? The father often brings the bride down. And he's so proud. He's walking down, you know. And the bride is so beautiful. And she's so happy to be with her father. Not. I mean, she's glad he's walking her down. But don't get mistaken. Don't become misguided. She's got her eye on the dude that's standing right down here. And you know what's powerful? They'll come to the edge and I'll say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And the father will say, her mother and I. And then all of a sudden, he takes a step back. And he's out of the picture. And the young upstart, the punk, the little kid, the boy that better take care of my little girl. Do you understand me? You better watch yourself because I'm watching you. Right? He comes in, steps right in there and takes her as if he owns her. I raised that child. Hey, I paid for her clothes. Hey, I'm the one that, right? And he just steps right in and goes, thanks, Dad. She's beautiful now, but she's mine. And he takes her by the hand and walks away. And Dad sits down with his wife and watches the show. This is what Jesus did to the disciples that day. They were standing with fear. And Jesus walked in and created a covenant ceremony and took your hand out of the hand of fear and put your arm around his and walked away from what you've known in your past to a beautiful life of expecting God to be all that you need him to be. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, Jesus, I thank you that I have no fear, but I only have faith. I thank you tonight that you are here to take me away from all fear in Jesus' name. No more fear. Now give the Lord a praise. No more fear about anything. Hallelujah. Now do you think for 1 minute that young bride's afraid of whether or not they're going to be able to pay for the motel room that night? Ain't even on her mind. You think she's worried about gas in the car? Not even thinking about it. Why? Because her mind is on her man. You got to get your eyes and your mind on the man who came to redeem you. And his name is? Say it again. Come on, tell somebody what his name is. Say, his name is Jesus. All right? Come on. All right, I don't know how much time you've got, but I got a couple more. Are you in for it? All right, you up for it? Okay. All right. How about if you haven't feared or thought of quitting? Or maybe you've never denied him. Maybe you've never derailed your faith. Maybe you've never been negative about a thing in your life. Maybe you've never been tormented. But I think this one we'll all relate to. Have you ever doubted? Of course we have. Even while we're praying, there's times doubt comes in. It's normal. But Jesus, in every one of these situations, appeared specifically as the resurrected Christ. This was not pre-crucifixion appearance. This was post. And there's a reason why in the Bible, Jesus appeared to every one of these circumstances alive. and why Luke, the writer, said to Theophilus, I want you to know Jesus Christ presented himself alive. Because there are times in our life when we don't really think that life can really go on. And Jesus now appears to those who are doubting. Check it out with me, would you? Right there in the scripture of the same context, chapter 20 of John, verses 26 through 28. John chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. There are times in your faith you're going to be undecided. Do I go with God's word or do I go with my own opinion? There's going to be times in your life you're going to be skeptical. I don't know. I want to believe. I mean, if we were all honest, we would say at some point, I want to believe, but I can't believe the doctor's saying this. In that moment of being tossed back and forth, that's when the resurrected Christ comes through the wall, unannounced. And says, peace to you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Don't be condemned if you've ever doubted. If you've ever been skeptical. If you've ever been uncertain about your faith. But in that moment, look for the resurrected Christ to make an appearance. You may be here tonight doubting about many things, and I'm not sure what it is. But I think just a moment, just 5 seconds of a silent cry to God, and He'll come to your life just like that. Let's do that right now, just silent. Amen. Amen, Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but I've been in prayer. And I'm down in prayer. I'm saying, Lord, and I thank you, God, that you're going to do this. And I know that your word says, and I know. And all of a sudden my mind goes, that ain't probably going to happen. Oh, stop. Where'd that come from? Devil, you dummy. You devil. You go back to prayer. Have you ever done that where you got interrupted by dumb thoughts? You get interrupted by these doubts that come storming in. Did you know that Jesus wants to make an appearance even while you're praying? We shouldn't just pray. When we pray, we ought to look for the resurrected Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. Look at it in Matthew 28, 16 and 17. Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17. It says that. He wants to make his appearance. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. You know what they did in the mountain, don't you? They went there to pray. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Even in the time of prayer, we could be praying and we could have doubts. That's part of our humanity. And sometimes I resent super spiritual Christians who say they never doubt. They're not really being honest. That they're so full of faith that they want to point out your weakness when you've been a bit skeptical about God's plan for your future. Don't let people intimidate you. This would have never been in the Bible if God didn't know that there'll be times in our prayer life where we will reach an impasse, a point of uncertainty, a time when we're really not sure. But that's when we need to look for His appearing in that moment. He's the resurrected Christ. He will come in that moment and say, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. You can believe in me, I'm alive. Because He lives, we too can live as well. those of us that are in strife. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 40. Some of us have been in strife. They were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me, see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Can you imagine the controversy around them? Have you ever been in controversy? Have you ever had people in your life that disagree with you? That try to talk you out of things or talk you into things? You can imagine. Can you imagine the day that Peter got out of the boat? All the other disciples, Pete, what are you thinking? Get back in here. You're going to drown. There was all kinds of strife. And anytime there's dissension, anytime there's strife, we've got to look for the resurrected Christ. And I have one more that I want to share with you. And this is for those of us who've experienced any kind of lack in our life. Maybe not enough finances. And times are tough. In our region, our unemployment is much higher than the national average. It's no mistake what's happened to our great city. All these great jobs have vacated. So many people are hurting today. And you wonder, where's our next meal coming from? God, do you even care? Do you even know what's going on? Maybe you're sitting here tonight wondering how you're going to pay your electric bill. This past week, I got a tragic phone call from someone who said, my husband has just passed and we don't have any money to bury. Can you imagine being in a situation where your loved one has passed away and there's no money for the funeral? That's desperation. Sometimes there's lack because we can't send our children to college or pay for their education. Sometimes we'd like to get away for a weekend or give a little bit more to the church or help with the carpet fund. But you know what? There is nothing. We can't give because we don't have anything. So many of us experience lack. But this is what Jesus does when you're in that place. Look at John 21, verses 1 and 2. This is my last one tonight. Many others that Jesus has given to us, but this one is so powerful. John chapter 21, verses 1 and 2 reads this way, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples who came together. You know, the Bible goes on to tell us in that particular portion of Scripture, you know what crazy thing that Jesus did? These guys went out fishing. They had to go back to work. Judas, he's hung. He's dead. Jesus is crucified. Everything has gone crazy. So they went back to their nets. After fishing all night, tired, weary, and they didn't catch anything. They see a fire on the shore. Thinking, you guys see that fire over there? Yeah, somebody's built a fire. Who could that be? And they get closer and closer. And you know who they find it to be? Jesus. And he's cooking breakfast. I mean, this is the craziest story in the entire Bible. He's cooking breakfast. And it wasn't any breakfast. It was a fish breakfast. He was preparing the very thing they couldn't catch. They get out of their boats and Jesus is sitting there frying them fish. And he goes, hey boys, hungry? In other words, the very thing you've been lacking, I've been preparing. Come and dine. The master calleth. Come and dine. And I want you to look for the resurrected Christ in your lack. I want you to look for the Christ that's alive in your lack, in your deficiency. I don't want you to think that he's forgotten about you. He's on your shoreline and he's preparing for what you have need of. Even while you were out there, think about it. He was gathering sticks for the fire. Even while you were out there, he was casting his net to catch the fish for you. Even while you were out there, he spread the table and got the forks and knives and the plates out. Even while you were still in lack, he started getting excited when he saw your boat coming into harbor. He was so happy to be able to say to you, I've got what you've been looking for. So I want to encourage you tonight, church. Let's see the resurrected Christ in our life. And let's present him alive to everybody we meet. Let's have confidence to tell people that are lacking. Listen, I know a Christ that can meet your need. This is what he did for some disciples many years ago. They couldn't catch fish and were starving, and he cooked them for them. This is what he did to those that were fearing. He showed right up in the middle of them and took them away from that covenant of fear and brought them into a covenant of peace. This is what he did for that one that was tormented. He cast out 7 demons. This is what he did for the one that was pessimistic and all they saw was the negative. He changed their life. But oh, there's more to the story. Let me tell you what he did for me. I was once that man. I was once that woman. I was once that lacking person. I was that negative person. I was that fearful, doubting person. I was that pessimistic person. And Jesus Christ has appeared live to me. And what he did for me, he'll do for you. And I present to you today, not a dead Jesus, not a religious Jesus, but a Jesus who's fully alive and prepared to show himself strong in your life. Greater work shall you do. Amen? Amen. Man, I'll tell you what, I am pumped. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Amen. What we need tonight is a personal encounter with the resurrected Christ. A personal encounter with the resurrected Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Church, more than anything, not a Bible study, not another sermon, not another great series or book or crusade. We need a personal encounter with the resurrected Christ. Every day we've got to press in. Every day we've got to really hunger and really seek it. That's our only hope. Do you know him tonight? Is he alive to you? Or has he become an icon? Is he a religious image? Is he some kind of a theory? Has he become some religious experience? What is he to you? The songwriter said, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Are you walking with him tonight? Are you talking to him tonight? Do you hear his voice? Are your eyes on him or they've become focused on the things of this world? Come on, get your eyes back on Jesus. See him. Look full in his wonderful face. The songwriter said, and the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every person in this room, I'm going to ask, do you need an encounter with the living Christ, the Jesus that is alive in the Bible? Have you only known about him? Have you only known of him? But you've never met him. You've never experienced his beauty. Then tonight you can. You can and you will if you'll only open your heart to him. Jesus Christ is alive. He's a real big God. Maybe you feel like you've done things that are unforgivable and can never be restored. Well, that's just not true. His eyes are looking for yours tonight. So look into the eyes fully of your Redeemer. No one looking around tonight, you say, Pastor, I need that Jesus. I want that Christ that is alive. Would you pray for me? That's you. Would you lift up your hand high enough that I might see it? I do want to pray for you. Thank you back there. You can put it down. Anybody else? Say, yeah, that's the kind of Jesus I'm talking about. Amen. You can put it down. Somebody else, yes, thank you. You know, that's what we've got to get. Thank you. You can put your hand down, sir. You know, that's what we've got to get. We've got to get an attitude that said, that's the only Jesus that is alive. He is a living Christ. There's no other Jesus. I don't know what this world's talking about, but they're not talking about my Lord, because He's changed my life. If you haven't already raised your hand, and you'll say, Pastor, tonight, I need to meet this living Lord. I want to meet this living Christ. That's you tonight. You've already done it. Don't do it a second time. But if that's you and you haven't done it, man, what are you waiting on? Come on. Put your hand up high enough for me to be able to see it, and we're going to pray for you. All right? Altar ministers, come across the front of this room, please. Hallelujah. Christians, come on, start praying. Come on, start praying with me right now. Because we're going to do some spiritual warfare over the lives of God's people. Jesus Christ wants to break the back of torment, fear, doubt, pessimism, lack. He wants to break the back of all these things by showing Himself alive. Hallelujah. So if you raise your hand, I want you to do me a favor. Get out from where you're standing. Put your shoulders back. Punch out your chest. And walk up here and let us pray with you about Jesus Christ being alive in your life. So come on. Do it right now. Do it right now. Come on. Everybody that raised your hand. Come on. Do it. That's right. Come on. That's all right. Come on. Do it right now. Anybody else? Come on. There were about 5 people. So we're waiting on you. Come on, church, if you're going to clap, clap. Come on, let's hand clap them. Let's believe God for them to come. Amen. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. Don't do it if you can't do it alive. But look it over at somebody and say, sweetheart, if you raise your hand, look, I'm about ready to go with you, okay? So just take them by the hand and say, do you need that prayer? Let's go. Come on, take somebody by the hand, bring them with you. And let's believe God for a great conclusion of this meeting. Now, Lord, thank You for Your mighty presence. You are an awesome God. Bless the people tonight. And Lord, as we give tonight on our way out, may we give to bless the house of God. Well, we thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Well, you live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Sunday. God bless you. Be friendly with one another on the way out. Jesus has always